It's time for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Friday, July 5th, 2019. We have about a dozen vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have northwest winds, 5 to 10 knots, wind waves from the northwest, 1 foot high at 4 seconds apart, and southwest swells, 2 feet at 16 seconds. And today on The Ship Report, we're going to be talking more about efforts to make vessels more environmentally friendly and reduce emissions. So I have a couple of articles to share with you about instances in which ships have become hybrids, using a combination of battery power and fossil fuels. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 5 inbounders. We have 7 in our Astoria anchorages and just 1 outbounder so far today. Our first arrival in the river is the Proteus. She's arriving from Japan, headed for the Rice Island anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria. She'll pass Astoria around 5:30 a.m. and will glide to a stop in the Rice Island anchorage, just a little bit on the other side of the channel, the north side of the channel, a little bit past Tongue Point on our way upriver there past Astoria. And she will be picking up wheat eventually. She is just going to drop her anchor there and wait a bit, not sure quite exactly when she's going to head upriver. Next inbound is the Global Saikai. She's arriving from Japan, headed for the anchorage off Longview, Washington. She'll pass Astoria around 9:30 a.m. and probably get to Longview about 1 p.m. And she's going to be picking up logs at the port of Longview. The Federal Yellowstone is arriving from Japan, headed for the Astoria anchorage, and she will arrive there probably around 11:30 a.m. today. She'll stay there until about 4 p.m., and then she'll head upriver to the port of Portland to pick up soda ash. The articulated tug and barge rig, the Dublin Sea, is arriving from Anacortes. She's headed for Portland. Her cargo is refined petroleum. She'll pass Astoria around 11:30 a.m., and you might see her in the Portland area by about 5:30 p.m. The Florida is arriving from Long Beach, California. She is headed for Portland. She's a tanker carrying refined petroleum, and she'll probably pass Astoria inbound, around 9:30 p.m. You might see her in the Portland area around maybe 3:30 in the morning on Saturday, so traveling all night on the river. Well, today I want to share with you a couple of stories about vessels that have been redesigned to run on they're new vessels, but they run on hybrid power, so partially from fossil fuels, partially from battery power. I want to talk a little bit about those vessels and then about what that means in terms of the carbon footprint of a vessel. So let's start with these articles. One of them is from Reuters, and the other one is from CBC News, Canadian Broadcasting Company in Canada. One is about the world's first cruise ship propelled partially by battery power. And the other is about a vessel that works in the waters in British Columbia's Fraser River as a kind of a cargo vessel. And she's also a hybrid with some electric power on board. So an interesting trend in the maritime industry where companies are actively looking for ways to create less pollution, less air pollution from burning fossil fuels. So let's take a look at this article from Reuters. The world's first cruise ship propelled partially by battery power is set to head out from northern Norway on its maiden voyage, cruise operator Herta Gruten said on Monday. The hybrid expedition cruise ship, the Roald Amundsen, can take 500 passengers and is designed to sail in harsh climate waters. While the engines run mainly on diesel, the ship's battery pack enables it to run solely on batteries for around 40 to 60 minutes under ideal conditions. The company estimates that the battery pack will reduce fuel consumption and save about 20% in carbon dioxide emissions compared to if the ship was operating on marine gas oil alone, and that's marine diesel. The company, which operates scenic cruise lines along the country's fjords and into the Arctic, was inspired by Norway's fleet of hybrid ferries and also its growing fleet of electric cars. Battery technology for propelling ships is in its infancy, even on shorter routes, as few ports provide charging stations. Herta Gruten expects infrastructure will improve on its traditional routes along the Norwegian coast, while currently charging services are only provided in Bergen, Norway's second largest city. The future for batteries on larger ships also hinges on suppliers' capacity to develop lighter, more powerful systems. The second hybrid cruise ship the company has on order to be delivered later this year will have battery packs with twice the capacity of the Roald Amundsen. So that is a cruise ship that will be operating in Norwegian waters. And this second article from CBC News is all about a 150-meter-long cargo ship that is operating in British Columbia's Fraser River. So let's talk about that. I'm reading you a little bit from that story. The river is running strong and currents are swirling as the 150-meter-long C-SPAN Reliant slides gently into place against its steel loading ramp on the shores of BC's Fraser River. The crew hustles to tie up the ship and then begins offloading dozens of transport trucks that have been brought over from Vancouver Island. While it looks like many vessels working the BC coast, below decks the ship is very different. The Reliant is a hybrid, partially powered by electricity, the seagoing equivalent of a Toyota Prius. Down below decks, you can walk past whirling internal combustion motors that can run on either diesel or natural gas. The engineer opens a door to a gleaming white room full of electrical cables and equipment racks on the walls. In this case, batteries are recharged by large engines burning natural gas. This is the company that designed the system. Corvus battery systems are specially designed for marine use and must meet much tougher standards than batteries in automobiles. The 10-year-old company's battery system is now in use on 200 vessels around the world. So a little bit about the shipping industry. I've talked about some of this before, but this just bears repeating. For years, the shipping industry has been criticized for being slow to clean up its act. Most ships use heavy fuel oil, a cheap, viscous form of petroleum that produces immense exhaust. According to the European Commission, shipping currently pumps out about 940 million tons of CO2 each year, nearly 3% of the global total. That share is expected to climb even higher as other sectors reduce emissions. New international restrictions on fuels come into effect next year, requiring shipping companies to significantly limit their emissions to comply with the Paris Climate Agreement. So after 3 years of hauling freight on the BC coast, Harley Penner, Director of Fleet Engineering and Vessel Development with C-SPAN Marine, has become a big believer in the hybrid technology and its ability to cut CO2 emissions. He said, "What we're able to do in certain instances is reduce the amount of engines we have running. And when you reduce the amount of engines you have running, you reduce greenhouse gas emissions." He said, "It's hard to come up with an exact number, but switching from diesel to a combination of natural gas and electric creates a substantial reduction in emissions." So here is a case in which these vessels are emitting less pollution, and hopefully as technology evolves, they will they will be emitting even less. And I did a story about this probably a couple of years ago on the Ship Report about this sort of thing. And a listener emailed me and brought up a really interesting point that I wanted to share with you again today, and that is about the total carbon footprint of anything that uses fuel. And so when you have batteries, there is some kind of fuel that is powering the thing that is charging the batteries. So this person brought up the point of what kind of fuel creates the electricity that charges the batteries. So if the batteries are being charged using electricity that was, say, created by coal, or in this case by natural gas, you're still using a fossil fuel. And in the case of natural gas, there are issues with fracking and things like that. So it's all part of the whole total carbon footprint of something like this, and that is a complex thing. And so it's not necessarily an easy equation to say that we're just decreasing the emissions of a particular vessel by using a different kind of system on board. But I am really glad to see that the shipping industry is putting energy into alternative fuels and ways to reduce ship emission. So it's just overall a good trend, I think. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.